so a good session, and looking forward to working on that.
Yeah, this time it was a little different than last year, and I'm not sure like how it was before that, as there were quite a few projects that were included in this DIP that had just gotten approved by the commission right before our meeting, so we were able to like change things around a little bit. They also wanted smaller projects, like a $2 to $2.5 million projects in our top 15, because when we're doing this DIP process, we add the larger projects and there's always like a few $1 million left, so they were wanting us to choose our top smaller projects so they could fit in when that happens.
So anyway, I guess globally the discussion here is that yes, probably there is good news in transportation funding to some degree, but before we all go out and declare a holiday, it's not quite what it might appear in the future.
Let me throw a Hail Mary question. Are there some of these smaller projects that you think we ought to be targeting to look at for that funding, or that would fit well? And also, what's the status on the expressway funding? Where are we exactly on that? And I know that's a bigger question.
Well, the expressway funding is basically in the county commission's budget, the road and bridge budget, for the things that can be accomplished locally. And then, of course, we've applied for supplemental funding through the federal government for the one piece of that that is beyond our reach. So that's moved forward there. On the Hollister end, we're still waiting for the permanent funding for the water park to finish up that piece, but that's the expressway funding.
Is there a target date on the federal funding when we get an answer back on that application?
This fall.
It will be after the first of their year, which is October 1st.
It's in their fiscal budget, so they'll probably kick the can October 1st. They'll get through the November elections, and they'll probably pass it in December.
So that's when we'll know about the bridge, which will be a great step forward.
Right now, though, Ron, we're doing the environmental and then the right-of-way. Once we get through that hoop, then we feel we would stand a very good chance of getting approved for a grant, rather than throwing $30,000 out the door for an application. We'll actually have something to prove to them that we have, and it's past.
You'd be ready to go. You'd be shovel ready.
Instead of not owning the property, you know.
And we'll
great work.
We're working through some of the landowners out there to try to go a little bit more buy-in with a couple of them. And addressing their concerns, we had a meeting with them a couple weeks ago. Went well. Our most state office landowner was very supportive all of a sudden. Wanted to see us look at some different things. We're going to try something new next week with them to go back over those things and make progress on getting him to move forward on his portion.
Thank you.
The other thing is about these smaller projects, and you put them in, they have to be well developed. They have to have construction ready drawings. They have to have everything ready to just go to bid. And a lot of these projects are projects that will fit in at a certain point. A lot of them are county forces do some of these projects and those kinds of things. So we don't have the competitive pieces it would take to actually put one of these in and say, we'd like this one funded. And they say, okay, let's have all your right-of-way documents and all your construction drawings and all that, and we'll evaluate it. And you go, well, we haven't spent the...
Who's going to pay for it?
$53,000. Was that my last stuff from you, Travis? $53,000, that was the wastewater stuff. But that's what it costs to get a set of plans. And that was only an amendment to a set of plans. So that's kind of the story. And if you count all those up and you say, let's just say we're going to get cheap plans at $30,000 times 10 of those projects, there's $300,000 that we just are going to do in case. So you kind of have to think through how all that works. So the idea that they'll take some smaller projects, those would have to be very targeted, select projects that we're ready to build ourselves, but we could nominate them in and get it going. A case in point where that one that carried the day was the Highway 76 bridge between Branson and Hollister, the low bridge. That was already on the shelf and ready to go, and we thought we were going to have to do it ourselves, and there turned out to be a shortfall in the MoDOT projects, and we got a, they had $20 million that needed to be spent in 90 days, and we were able to put in the plans, and they covered it. That was a $17 million windfall, but it was because we'd already spent a bunch of money and time. So that's why some of these aren't really good, and we can throw them in there, but what it does at a Schwarz level, and you'll see this, it kicks out good projects that are really ready because they're trying to be good neighbors and they don't want to be hogging all this stuff, so they let us in, and then we don't perform because we're really not ready.
What also makes that difficult is the county or the city is primarily going to pay for or put up money for stuff for their own projects, whereas the projects that MoDOT's going to be willing to put up money for the most part are going to be their projects. And so you would have to spend the county money to help us basically design plans and get MoDOT started, which sometimes makes sense, but at the same time you're spending $30,000 on stuff that's not even technically your infrastructure. It could help you in the future, but it makes it even more difficult to be able to get that stuff ready ahead of time unless you're really committed to doing it.
So that's a good point. Now we have one of those. Carlos's project there is one of those that's a MoDOT project, but local funds is the only way we're going to jumpstart that project, or otherwise MoDOT's going to kick that can down the road as long as they can.
So I've got that on the list for an update when we get to it.
But most of these projects require a 20% match, or not? Is that a broad brush too?
Well, most of the time the matches come after you're awarded the money, because everybody's spent ahead of time to get it accounted as match.
So if you spend thousands up front, good for you. That's not your match. Your match comes
on the backside
when you're awarded the project, and it's going to cost, what's your project, Carlos? $200,000? 270? More? Well, then the match goes against that after it's ready to go.
I noticed in the STIP, universally, it was almost 20% match. I mean, they quote how much money they've got, and then they quote the 20% match, and then they put in that annual fiscal year, the combined total.
That is the federal-state match, I think, is what they're calling 20%. The local match on some of those STIP projects may not be that. Unless you're using the Missouri Transportation Finance Corporation stuff and trying to get your project put on the STIP. They won't build one unless it's on the STIP. But to get some of that on, they're going to require you to do 50%. If they don't have it in their just evolving set of priorities that come up.
Thank you.
All right, we have any other old business? We'll move on down to Devin.
Well, I take
a county update.
Priority list, Thunder Road number 20. It's moving, the ball is rolling. Right now we're in a time frame to where we can't do anything because of the bats until November. And they did find shavings used to make an arrowhead. So rather than going to that elevation, we're going to have to go to a higher elevation, build the road up higher. And then there are trees. Well, you have two choices, to take them out which probably would shut down the project because they'd find more artifacts or go through there and cut them off, ground level, build your road on top of it, and 10 years later, you got to go back and dig the road back out under a maintenance agreement. But that's the only way you can move along with it. So, but the ball is rolling on Thunder Road. You know, the core, any property of theirs, they've got to go back to the Indian tribe, get permission and all that for the property. And then you you don't actually own the right-of-way. You make a 20-year agreement, 25-year, to be able to go across federal property.
And then it actually crosses over from one type of zone to an AE zone on the floodplain right there where you have to cross over, so then you have to do a clomber. Because you're not allowed to cut any, you have to do a clomber so that you're not causing as much water effects to the lake as well as backwater. And so what has started out as a pretty good thing when we got federal funding to help pay for it has turned into a mess of bureaucracy between federal government and its different layers. For example, the not being allowed to remove tree root, or you know, the stump of the tree, you have to go over the top of it. We've had meetings and we've had phone calls, and unless we're willing to do a bunch of mitigation, we can't dig anything. We can't move. But it instructed us that we are not to remove one shovel of dirt.
The next one, number 29, I just had a question on what needed to be upgraded on it. The roads in there are in good condition. They're wide.
Which district is that? Who submitted that?
Hi, Keith. Thing.
Well, they have the sewer, but it's still in the county. The road zone.
This one, that thing's been on there forever. If I remember right. I think it was David Miller who actually had this one. Like the project description was install curbs and gutters and sidewalks throughout the neighborhood. It was going to require utility relocation work and possibly some new right away. They have stormwater issues
currently. Yeah, that's right.
And even though it's out, it's in the county, it is in his district. That's why he fronts it.
Well, I don't personally foresee that ever being done, so that's just...
In the big picture, we wanted to, gutter probably isn't a high priority need here.
If we wanted to move that down to the bottom or...
Yeah, lower it.
I mean, that's...
What, you got your sheets there? What more did it, that you, as high a level as it, looks like it's way up, about mid-level at least. Yes.
Another, and again, this is old data, this hasn't been an updated project, but there was a fatality crash there apparently at some point. So anytime there's a fatality, that one's sort of quite dead. All the other guys are pretty low.
That would have been down there where there was guardrail added at a later time after that.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to update that with the most recent 3 years of crash data and that came out, this would drop far. That safety category is by far the highest one on here.
Mr. Chairman, I propose we put this on the agenda, have it as an agenda item, so Keith will be here to review it in his presence and to likely move it down to a lower status based on the most recent information we've got as an item to be discussed at the next meeting.
So would we?
Would that bring in with everybody?
Would we then need to have? Would we need to have Travis go to do a new study on? Would that be the way to word it, to have him update 29?
Well, I guess there's a couple of things. If Keith says we need to, I don't want to move it down.
Yeah.
Then we'll probably need to look into it some more, and okay. Then we'll decide whether it moves down regardless, or. If he says, I don't have any trouble with that, this doesn't really need to be up that high.
So I was going to say, he may say that he'd be there and just take it off.
It may drop it off a little.
Yeah, or
move it updated and just drop.
Move it way down.
Yeah, put it on a list of accomplishments.
When you go down this list and you take a look at them, curb and gutter isn't the issue.
No.
And as Travis points out, yes, it's unfortunately...